John chapter 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they've laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple. Now that other disciple is John. He doesn't refer to himself by name, but when you see that other disciple, John, the one writing this, is talking about himself. All right? And that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lying. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I'll take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. What an amazing story here. You know the story, but I love reading it again, especially on Resurrection Sunday. So Mary went to the tomb. It was early. It was before the sun came up. She noticed the stones rolled away, but she didn't go in. Would you? I don't know. She didn't go into the tomb. I remember when I was in Bible college, I'd go out and pray, and I found a quiet place. It was at the cemetery. There's nobody else there, at least that I could see. And so I'd walk around the cemetery and just pray. I wasn't trying to be spooky or anything. It was quiet. And when you live in the dorms, a quiet place is a blessing. So I found the cemetery. I went and I walked around for a while. It was after dark, and I walked a little ways away from my car. And I was praying, and I was trying to learn how to pray, trying to just, you know, get alone with God and walk with God. And got a little ways away from my car, and it was kind of cold outside. It was kind of creepy. I started looking around. And I went back to my car real quick, sat down, locked the door, and prayed the rest of the time in my car. I don't think I would have gone into the tomb. I don't think I would. She didn't go into the tomb. She goes back, and she finds Peter and John, and she says, Listen, they've taken away the Lord. He's not there. I went early. I imagine she's saying this pretty fast. I don't know how fast she said it, but I imagine it's just coming out pretty fast. They took away the Lord. We don't know where they took him. Come look. You guys got to come look. So Peter and John, they start running. John, being a humble person that he is, he doesn't name himself. He doesn't say, I beat Peter to the grave. Yes, but he did. They start running to the grave. They get there. John outruns Peter, but he stops and he looks into the grave. I picture him putting his hand there on the edge of it and just kind of looking in. Maybe it's dark inside. Maybe he can't see inside really well. Picturing him looking in. And he turns behind him and he looks, and here's Peter coming like a freight train, just going right through all the way into the tomb, and he sees Jesus isn't there. Now the clothes were there. The grave clothes were there. What they wrapped him in when they took him down from the cross, that was still there. And the napkin they had wrapped around his head, the Bible says wrapped about itself, folded up in its own separate place. It was there. But Jesus wasn't there. They looked around. They didn't find him. They left. They went home. But Mary stayed. I think that this could be probably a whole sermon in itself, but Mary stayed. She goes back into the tomb. This is not Mary, the mother of Jesus. This is Mary Magdalene. Bible says that seven demons were cast out of her. She was in another place called a sinner. Now, we're all sinners, but whenever somebody called them a sinner, it was publicly known. She was a sinner. Everybody knew it. But Jesus had healed her. She'd become a follower of Christ, and now she's there by herself. She goes into the tomb once again. I'm not sure why she'd go back in, but she goes in again, and she sees these two angels. She sees two angels, one sitting at the head, one sitting at the foot, and they say to her, and go back to where it was, and they say, "Oh, I lost my place, it is right." Verse 13, "And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him." And then she goes out, she sees Jesus, and she realizes that it's him. Wow. She thought he was the gardener. He spoke to her, she didn't recognize him. She asked him to tell her where the body of Jesus was so she could take it away. He says her name. That there's so much there. She says, Mary. When you realize, and this is really not part of the message, but just think about this. When you realize that Jesus really wants to know you, not just a number, and not just the number of hairs on your head, but you. He calls her Mary. He didn't call her by a number. He didn't say, hey, you. He didn't say, oh, you're the one that I cast all those demons out. Mary. Mary. She turns and she realizes that it's him. I want to give you four things tonight that happen in this chapter after Jesus comes back to life. The first one comes from verse number 21. John chapter 20, verse 21. "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." That little statement, peace be unto you. Now, at this point, they're meeting in this, they've gone home, they're meeting in this private house. If you remember, they were there because they were afraid of the Jews. The Jews had just crucified Jesus, and they were followers of Jesus. The Bible says, so for fear of the Jews, they're hiding in this house, the doors being closed, and the Bible says Jesus appears in the midst of them. I don't know why they were there. Maybe to discuss the missing body of Jesus. I mean, this would be a mystery. Let's get back together, guys. Come on, let's get back together tonight, first day of the week, this evening. Let's get back together. We got to figure this out. I don't know if that's what it was. Maybe to try to make sense of what happened over the last few days. Now, you've got to remember, the rest of the disciples haven't seen Jesus. Mary did, but the rest of them haven't. They're scared. The body of Jesus is now missing. They don't know what's happened. He said he was going to rise again. They're confused. What is going on? They're gathered together. Maybe they're trying to understand the statements that Mary had made about talking with Jesus. Can you imagine this? They had seen Jesus dead on the cross. They had seen Jesus being wrapped up in those burial garments. They'd seen him buried. They'd seen the stone. They'd seen the seal that was put up there. They'd seen, and this passage doesn't tell us about it, but they'd seen the soldiers that were guarding the tomb. And then Mary comes and says, "I saw him and he's alive." Oh, come on, Mary. Those demons come back. What are you thinking? You're seeing things? What's going on in your mind, Mary? I don't know. Maybe that's, I don't know what they were there for, but all of a sudden, with four words, Jesus comforts them and prepares him for the rest of what he's about to say. He comes in, he appears in the middle of the room, doors are closed, windows closed. He appears in the middle of the room and he says, "Peace be unto you." With four words, he gives them this peace. He first comforted them. I'm going to give you three C's tonight. He comforts them. Can you imagine what those words from that familiar voice did for those disciples? Maybe you've gone through a hard time and you've needed to call somebody that you care about or that cares about you. You're going through a hard time and maybe through sobs you call somebody and you hear that familiar voice on the other end of the phone. I still do this when I pretend phone, all right? Next generation does this when they pretend phone, all right? That's what I do. I remember being in college and having to call mom and dad and just talk. It was this. It was collect call, right? You hear that familiar voice on the other end. Whenever you're scared, whenever you were a kid and you had a nightmare, and you run into your parents' room and you hear the familiar voice and, okay, everything's okay. Everything's okay. As they're in this room and they're scared of what's going on, they're confused about everything that's happening around them, and they hear the voice of Jesus, peace be unto you. The last time they'd seen him free was in the Garden of Gethsemane. They'd watched him going through the court and the scourging and the cross. They'd seen the unimaginable happen to him. They'd watched as the kingdom that they thought he was building came crashing down around him. Those words were so much like the words that they had spoke, that he had spoken out on the Sea of Galilee. Remember, there was the storm. The storm all around, the wind was blowing and the waves were coming into the ship. They thought they were going to sink. They thought they were going to die. And Jesus comes up to the ship and he says, "Peace, be still." No doubt their hearts were filled with turmoil, just like the raging sea. And most likely they were exhausted from the emotional roller coaster that had been their life for the last 3 years. And the simple words of Jesus brought peace to their messed up world. Now tonight, before we go on to the next thing, I just want you to get this. Jesus wants to work through you tonight. But before he uses you to make a difference to someone else, he wants to give you peace. Maybe there's turmoil in your heart. Maybe there's turmoil in your life. Life happens. We live in this sinful world. And no matter what happens around you, listen, the same Savior that appeared to them and said, "Peace be unto you," can give you that peace tonight, the peace that passes all understanding. The Bible says, "Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." He wants to give you that peace. Regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what you're dealing with, regardless of what's in your heart or what's in your mind, regardless of the news that you just got, regardless of the relationship that you've just been struggling with or ended, regardless of what's going on, the Prince of Peace wants to give you that peace. And he says, "Peace be unto you." He came to him, he rose again, and then the very same day, he comforted them. "Hey, listen, I'm here. I'm here with you. I'm here to go through this with you." Not only did he comfort them, but this is big. He showed up and convinced them. He convinced them. What did he convince them of? That he rose again. Now, there's a lot of theories out there. We won't take the time to go through a lot of them. There's a theory that he passed out. There's a theory that he was faking it. There's a theory that they buried the wrong guy or they checked the wrong tomb. There's all these different theories out there. Jesus shows up and he convinces them, "I was dead, but now I'm alive." Look at John chapter 20, verse 19. John 20, 19. We're going to stay here for most of it. "Then the same day at evening," being the first day of the week, it's kind of like right now. Picture this. This is the first day of the week. It's a Sunday evening. "The doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, 'Peace be unto you.'" But look at the next verse. "And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." So their minds are spinning from the events of the last few days. And now here's someone that looks like Jesus standing in the room with them. Once before, they thought they had seen him, but then they thought it was a ghost walking on the Sea of Galilee. But now he's in the room with them. He had died, but now, okay, we know the story. So it's normal to us. Yeah, he rose again. He was in the room with them. Yep. Okay, let's go. Wait a minute. A dead man is standing in the room with you, talking to you. He rose again. We understand that. But this is not a normal thing. If somebody had died, we had buried them, did the whole funeral and all that, and then 3 days later, they come back. We're sitting around dinner talking, and they show up, and they're talking to us. Okay, this is not normal. We're freaking out. We are scared. What is going on? And he convinces them of the truth. They needed to know for sure that Jesus had risen from the dead. You know, if they had gone to the tomb and the tomb was just empty, they'd have thought, well, I guess he could have. Or they would have thought, well, maybe the soldiers are telling the truth. Maybe somebody did come and steal him. Who knows what happened? In order for these disciples to go on with the rest of their life and do something great for God like they did, they had to be 100% convinced that Jesus had risen again. Every one of them died a martyr's death except for John. They tried, but they couldn't kill him. Every one of them died preaching what they believed. They died for what they believed. They died for the fact that Jesus had risen again. He was about to command them to preach the gospel to every creature. There's no way that any one of those disciples would have even started on that task if they had any doubt in their minds. Have you ever tried to sell something that you didn't believe in? How many of you ever tried to sell something? How many of you ever sold anything over the phone? Anybody ever sold anything over the phone? You're one of those guys that called people and sold them over the phone? I was. I was terrible at it. I was not. How many of you still do that? How many of you are still in sales? Anybody in sales still? Okay. How many of you've sold something and you had to sell something that you wouldn't have bought yourself? Me. All right. I had one job. We were selling insurance on credit cards. And so if something, death and dismemberment insurance, we're trying to sell that. I didn't even have a credit card, first of all. And I was trying to sell it to people. I didn't even know what it was. They had to explain to me what it was. Trying to sell that to people. We were trying to sell the Chicago Tribune to people. I wouldn't have bought the Chicago Tribune. But we're trying to sell it to people. You know, when you try to sell something to somebody that you don't believe in it, it's hard to do. I got a job one time in Sears. I wasn't working for Sears, but I was that annoying guy that stood by this little kiosk when you walked in the door that said, hey, would you like a free estimate on siding or windows for your house? Are you the homeowner? I was that guy, you know, the one that followed you around Home Depot kind of person. But it was at Sears. And I was that person. I went to training. I went to training for about a week. I got everything. I got my materials. I got my assignment. I went to the mall and I stood in the Sears and for 1 month did not sign up one single person. Sales is not my thing. I had a hard time selling. And what was the reason? It was something I wouldn't use. It's something I didn't believe in. Can you imagine these disciples going out and trying to change the world? Let's believe in Jesus. If they really didn't even believe that he rose again, they had to be 100% convinced. And he shows up and he convinces them. The gospel consists of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And up to this point, the disciples could have effectively preached the death of Jesus Christ. They could have told of all the circumstances that led to the cross. They could tell about the betrayal in the garden. They could have told about the trial and the scourging and the mockery. They could have described the old rugged cross. They could have preached great about the cross. They could probably repeat every word that Jesus spoke on the cross. They could have told how the soldiers broke the legs of the other two soldiers but skipped Jesus because he's already dead. They could have preached about the cross. They could have described what it was like to see a Roman soldier take his spear and pierce the side of Jesus for no reason. He was already dead. They could have preached about the death of Jesus. They could have preached about the cross. They needed something more than that. They could have preached about the burial of Jesus Christ. You know, it was two, we would call them maybe fringe disciples that took the body down and prepared it for burial. But the others could have told you what happened. They could have taken you to that borrowed tomb. They could have shown you the Roman seal that was placed on the tomb to prevent anybody from opening it from the outside. The problem was the Romans and the Jews didn't think that anybody would be opening it from the inside. They could have told you about the special attachment of Roman forces that had been dispatched to make sure the body wasn't stolen. They could have preached about the burial of Jesus. They could have preached about the death of Jesus, but now all of a sudden, standing before them was the proof of the risen Jesus Christ, the resurrection. They didn't know the scriptures yet that said he must rise again from the dead. He had told them in parables he'd rise again, but they didn't quite get it. He'd even told them clearly that he would rise again. He shows up in the middle of the room. He shows them his hands. He shows them his side. There was no mistaking his identity. This was Jesus. Now they could preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He convinced them. If they ever had any doubt in their minds about the validity of the message that Jesus was teaching, it was all instantly gone. From that day forward, nothing could stop that group of disciples from preaching the gospel. Every one of them faced death for preaching the gospel. Hebrews 11:36 describes this group of people, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Why would they do that? Because they were 100% convinced that Jesus rose from the dead. And if Jesus rose from the dead, he really was who he said he was, the Christ, the Son of the living God. He comforted them. He convinced them. Look at verse 21. I want you to see that he commissioned them. He gave them a commission. He gave them a job. John 20:21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. God sent Jesus to this earth. He was sent from his Father to this earth for purpose. And let me clear that up. When I say God sent Jesus into this earth, You've got to understand, Jesus is God. But God the Father sent God the Son to this earth in the form of a man. Jesus came to this earth. His commission was to seek and to save that which was lost. His purpose was not of this world, the Bible says. 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, for not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God wants everybody to turn to Jesus Christ in faith and believe. Every single person. That is God's plan. Now listen, Jesus rose again, and He can comfort you. Jesus rose again, and He can convince you. Just give Him the opportunity. Jesus rose again, and He has commissioned you, and He's given you the same commission. We call it the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We ought to be doing that. We don't know how much time we have in this life. We don't know how much time we have until Christ returns. We need to get out and reach this world with the gospel. He's commissioned us. But then something else happened. It's in verse number 22. He comforted them. He convinced them. He commissioned them. And what you see, He completed them. John 20, verse 22. "And when He had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." See, they were willing to do His work, but they weren't ready. Peter, just a couple days before, had told Jesus he was ready to die for Him. And then he denied Him three times, probably because he was scared. All of the disciples had run away when they were at the garden. Jesus faced that trial alone. Peter was out there watching, and I think it was John that might have known somebody, so he was on the inside of the trial. But they stood their distance, and they watched Him be tried. They watched Him be crucified. They left Him. They wanted to, but they weren't ready. And then Jesus gave them the power of the Holy Spirit. We have that described so well in the book of Acts. And He gave them the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit to do the work they were supposed to do. He gave them the power of the Holy Spirit to help them to complete their commission of reaching the world with the gospel. He gave them the Holy Spirit to convince them internally of what they were observing externally. He put Himself in their hearts, if you could say it that way. The Holy Spirit came to live inside, and He said, from the inside, He says, "Yes, that's true. Yes, that's true." As they would hear the Scriptures read, the Spirit on the inside would convince them and help them to understand it was true. He gave them the Holy Spirit to comfort them in their times of doubt and despair and fear. And that's right where they were at that point, in the middle of doubt, despair, fear. You know, they'd face many more of those times in the future. God gave them the Holy Spirit to comfort them, to teach them. A few days later, the Holy Spirit would not only be empowering them, but would be dwelling in them. And that happens in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire sat upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm not going to preach a long message tonight, and I'm done here. But I want you to get this. Jesus rose from the dead, and you see what He did for His disciples after that. And I want you to understand, He wants to do the same for you. You are going through hard times just because life has hard times. Jesus rose again to comfort you. He rose again to convince you. We can't go back to that tomb. I know Josh McDowell wrote a book on that. Other people have, about the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I know that there's great evidence that the tomb's empty, but it's been a long time since then, so you can't go back to that tomb and say, there's my evidence. I mentioned this earlier. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. The greatest evidence I can give you is something that really is not going to prove it to you, but it has absolutely proved it to me. As I've prayed and God's answered prayers, and I realize, wow, only God knew that I was praying that. Only God could have done that. Only God could have provided that. I don't know how God convinces you or how He will convince you, but God's made Himself very real in my life. When I was 10 years old and He called me to preach, it was not too much pizza the night before. It was not heartburn. I've had heartburn since. I realized that that's not what it was. But it was God. And it's going to be different for, okay, let me explain it this way. I talk to a lot of preachers that are starting churches. And they'll say, "Pastor Reyes, tell me your story. How did God, what worked in your church?" And I told them, we started in a school. We had 76 people that first day. We grew to about 30. And we went in the school, and then we went to the storefront, and then God miraculously provided this property, the one that we're sitting in tonight, this building. This is an amazing story how God did. And I'll tell them that story and they'll say, wow. And their thought is this, I hope God does that for me. And then I hear other churches and a pastor will start a church and God blesses and does a miracle for them, and but it's not like he did for us. And then another brother Reed's got a brother-in-law who started a church and wow, God's blessed in huge ways that way. And every different churches, you hear different stories and God proves himself in different ways. Here's what I tell them. A church planner getting ready to start a church, I'll say this, listen, my story will not be your story, but I promise you, you will have a story. God will work in some way. It's going to be different, but he's going to work in your life. And God may not call you to preach when you're 10 years old and make himself real to you, but he's going to make himself real to you somehow. If you will pray about certain things, you'll ask him for things, and as he provides, you realize that had to have been God. You pray about something, don't tell anybody else. You pray about it for a while, and when God answers it, you realize, wow, that had to have been God. He wants to convince you. And once you are convinced that he is God, you will live your life for him. And the problem with most of us Christians is that we're really not convinced. We're still trying to figure it out. I'm not saying that's wrong. Peter spent his entire 3 years with Jesus trying to figure it out. He said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then he denied him a couple days later. Listen, when you figure it out, whenever God works that in your heart and he convinces you, spend time in the Word of God, you spend time getting to know God, you pray and you are asking God to provide, you're asking God to do something, and God comes through and you realize that was God. And you're convinced. It'll change your life forever. Listen, Jesus commissioned you and me just like he commissioned the disciples. He rose again and he said, even as my Father sent me, so send I you. Every one of us, listen, we've got a commission. We've got a job. We've got to go out. We've got to reach this world with the gospel. It's our commission. It's what he rose again. If one of your family members would have come back to life and he said, okay, let me tell you one thing I want you to do for me, you'd probably do that. Here, Jesus came back to life and he said, I want to give you a commission. The commission is to reach the world with the gospel. I want you to get involved in that. And then Jesus completed them. It's an amazing thing. We could spend a lot of time on it, but we're not tonight. And that is the filling of the Holy Spirit. This amazing miracle that I can't explain, where God says, I want to come live inside of you. I want to be in you. I want to be with your spirit, dwelling in you with your spirit. And I want to lead you. I want to teach you. I want to comfort you. I want to help you. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God came on people like Samson. And they got great strength. And they came upon people. And just amazing things happened. We have something more amazing than that. Where instead of the Holy Spirit coming on a person, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will come to live inside of a person. The Bible says, though, that we can quench the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can deny the Holy Spirit. I want to remind you that just like Jesus gave the Holy Spirit to those disciples, he said, listen, I've got a big job for you to do, but I'm going to give you my spirit to do it with. God has given you the same thing. He wants to comfort you, convince you. He wants to, two other C's that I forgot. He wants to, help me out, commission you, and then he wants to, did I give you the last one? Complete you. Father, thank you for letting us spend this time together tonight. You rose again, and we're celebrating that today. But as we begin this brand new week, this brand new year, Lord, I pray that you would help us to go out with your power, and I pray that you'd help us to go out with your comfort, your presence. Please help us to serve you. Please help us to live for you. Lord, I pray that you would make yourself real through us and in us. Lord, I know there's people here tonight that are still waiting for you to convince them, waiting for you to make yourself real to them. Lord, I pray that you would do that in a mighty way. Lord, I pray that they would invest the time into getting to know you so that you can do that. Not just as a trivial thing or just information or just as like a fact seeker, but as a relationship. Lord, I pray that you would help our folks, the people, New Heights Baptist Church, to get to know you in such a way that they are totally convinced that you are God, that you are who you say you are.